recommended. His pastor said he's doing such a great job there. And I says, well, we don't want to take him out of something he's doing. He said, no, take him and use him. So here today we have Brother Winston Arthur with us. Can we give God a hand clap of praise as he comes and preaches the gospel?
Love you, buddy. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Why don't you just for a little while longer lift your hands and begin to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Almighty God. Oh, we love you. Oh, we praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this place, for touching hearts and touching minds, moving on our hearts. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I truly believe that the angels of the Lord are in this place right now, and they're troubling the waters. And if you lift your hands in faith believing, the Lord's going to start answering some things that you've been seeking him for a long time. So right now, just one more time, if you could speak in tongues and raise your hands and lift your voices. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, in your precious name, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for the spirit that I feel in this place today. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he will be in the midst. And I'm no stranger to small-time church. My dad was a home missions pastor down in South Florida, and we had maybe only a couple saints. And at one time when the economy crashed, there was only my family. And we had church in our house. So I love this. Feels like home. It's what I told your pastor. And I enjoy the spirit. I enjoy just being able to meet everybody and feel like we're just having a conversation. Because really, in all honesty, I'm just wanting to share my heart to you tonight. But first, this afternoon, I'd like to share with you a testimony. And you all may be seated. I apologize. Just recently, I was at a conference. And at this conference, I heard ministers like Brother Jack Cunningham, Brother Mark Morgan, various other people. Brother Klein Dentz were there. Some of these evangelists, some of these pastors that have been in the UPC out for a long time, and they preached powerful, power-packed services. And while I was there, in the course of a week's time, they had over 300 notable miracles, and over 60 people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, amen. That's something to be glad about. But you know, the thing is that wasn't in some foreign country. That was over in California. I was right in the United States. So if it can happen over there, it can happen right here in Winnemac, Indiana, right? Amen. I believe it. I believe it. I just wanted to share with you a statement that I had read by Brother Verbal Bean. I don't know if anyone knows who that is, but he's a great man. And he made this statement, and he said this. He said that human reasoning defies faith. Human reasoning defies faith. Now, the word of the Lord says that he speaks to us in a still, small voice. And I'm convinced that because it is so still and so small, that at points in time in our life, we often override the very voice of God when we war back and forth with inside of ourselves, asking the question, well, is this the Lord speaking to me or is this just me? And when we do this for such a prolonged state of time, we allow the deceiver to come in and sow seeds of doubt and unbelief into our hearts and minds. Thus, we miss the very windows of opportunity and the very doors that the Lord had intended us to walk through to either be ministered to or ministered through. But I wonder this afternoon how many miracle signs and wonders we would experience. How many gifts of the Spirit we'd see in operation if we as a church would grab a hold of the horns of an old-fashioned Pentecostal altar and not let go until we heard the voice of God. And once hearing his voice, not reasoning with inside of ourselves any longer, but simply saying, speak, Lord, your servant hears you. It's important. If there were ever a time that we needed faith, we need faith right now. Faith in the word of God and in his voice and in his leading. Amen. I have a rather important message to preach to you today, and rather serious, actually. And before that, I'd like to say thank you to Pastor Smith. He has been so kind. He talked about meeting me, and I can't tell you how many times I've met him and met up with him and saw him at an event. And he's always been so friendly, so cordial to me. And he met me at a good time when I was just a youth, and I was going through some things wild, and his friendliness kind of just brought me back out of a rut. You know, my dad says a rut's a grave with both ends knocked out, and his friendliness and his hospitality really brought me out of a rut and helped me to understand that the Lord did have a calling on my life, just like he has a calling on each and every one of your lives. Whether you know it or not, the Lord's knocking on your heart's door. So I'd just like to honor him and his family right now. They're all so very kind, and I love their son, Chris. I really do. He's a good friend of mine. So anyhow, but without further ado, I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, if you'd please stand for the reading of the word. And verse 35 is where we'll begin. Amen. Please say amen when you get there. Amen. And it says here in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples," and this is the Lord speaking, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I have but one question to ask you this afternoon, and the question is very simple. But I want you to remember it, and I want you to ask yourself this every day. Can you hear the harvest calling? Can you hear the harvest calling? Let's just one last time raise our hands and ask the Lord to have his will in this service. Oh, Lord, right now, we ask that your word would go forth like a seed, finding rest in the good soil of their soul. Oh, Lord, that it would grow and bear forth good fruit, and that in good time, in right season, it would be used for your will, for your glory. Oh, we love you today. We magnify you, Jesus. Have your way in the service. Oh, we're but withering blades of grass as time's passing on, but we ask that you touch us. Keep your hand upon us, oh God. Oh, speak to our hearts. Really stir us up. Burden us, Lord, with your word right now. Oh, in your precious name, we ask you. We ask you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Saints, it's my indispensable duty this afternoon to paint to you a picture. Many of us having paintings of which express happiness, joy, and peace. Pictures of good memories and good times that have long passed. Many of these pictures are portraits of loved ones that have either grown up or passed on. And you are trying to preserve these images so that in times of reminiscing, you may go back and you may look at these photographs, these portraits, and these paintings. But friends, I'm not here today to paint to you a picture of joy or of happiness or of peace, but rather I'm here to paint to you a picture of darkness, a darkness full of confusion, pain and suffering, weeping and wailing, a picture of death. And no, the death of which I'm speaking of is not of the physical kind, but rather it is of the spiritual kind. A picture in which it wearies me and troubles me to say, I'm most certain many of your own loved ones are standing in. Could it be a brother or a friend or a co-worker, a daughter, a father, a mother? Just now, someone came to your mind as I spoke those words. You saw a face. You heard a voice. I want you to right now begin to meditate on them for the remainder of this message and allow the Lord to bear the burden within inside of you for that person. There is a young man that I know who is undoubtedly a part of this mass painting. And we'll continue to be a part of it until he changes his ways. This young man, his name is Jake. And Jake is a co-worker of mine. He's no stranger to this painting of darkness and perversion. It's a scene that he has been born into and lives on a daily basis. You see, Jake is a young man that I met first working at the construction company that I'm working for right now. And on the outside, Jake is a young man that looks and appears to look like he has a lot of fun with life and likes to laugh, likes to crack jokes. But you see, Jake has a problem, and his problem is pornography. And on the job, Jake will oftentimes come to the work site, and when we have downtime and when we have breaks, he'll pull up these images of people doing lewd acts, and he'll commence to going around to every other young man at the job and show them as they'll laugh and as they'll hee-haw about these nasty things that are going on, these pictures, these videos. And then Jake will come up to me, and he'll ask, "Hey, you want to see this?" And I look at him, and I say, "No, Jake, I don't." And he oftentimes thinks it's a game, because not too many times after that, or he'd come back up to me, and he'd continue to ask me if I wanted to look at these videos or watch these videos or look at these pictures. And I tell him no and no and no time after time. Until finally I got sick and tired of it, and I yelled at him. I said, "Jake, I don't want to look at those videos." And he got real quiet. And I said, "But Jake, I got a question to ask you." And I'm pretty blunt with these guys. They're my friends, and they're construction workers, so you don't have to worry about it. They speak their mind to you, and you speak their mind to them, and it's all good and all gravy, you know. So I said, I got a question for you. And he looked at me, and his laughter turned to a seriousness as he looked at me, and he said, "Okay, what's your question?" I said, "Jake, let's say that there's a heaven and that there's a hell, in which I believe there is. But according to the life that you live, Jake, on a daily basis, I want you to be honest with yourself and I want you to be honest with me. Where do you think you'd go?" And I said, "And so let's say this. Let's say that you're driving home from work and it's raining outside, or whatever the case may be. There's snow on the ground, and you slide and you fall off the road and you go into a ravine and you die. Or, Jake, let's say after a long, hard day at work, you go home and you get onto your bed, and after you fed your kids, because he's got a couple kids, after you feed your children, you lay down on your pillow and you fall asleep. And let's say, Jake, you just never wake up. You die there. Where do you think you'd go?" And Jake looked at me, and then he looked at the ground, and what seemed to be an eternity was only just a couple minutes. But he looked down, and he looked back up at me as I was waiting for a response. And Jake, with a face of seriousness, now turned to a face of fear. As I looked into the eyes of a man that was 27 years old, he looked at me and he said, "Well, just between me and you, Winston, I'm kind of scared." I said, "Well, Jake, why are you scared?" He said, "Because I really just don't know where I'm going. But I suppose if I were to be honest with myself and honest with you, I guess, Winston, I'd probably go to hell." And the feeling that gripped my heart when he told me that, I can't even begin to describe to you right now the knot that came into my stomach and rose all the way up to my throat as a man just poured his heart out to me. He said, "I don't know where I'm going, but I guess if I were to choose, I'd probably go to hell." As he looked at me with these eyes of fear. And I said, "Well, Jake, I want to say I appreciate you for being so honest with me. That takes a real man to be honest." I said, but Jake, I got something to tell you, and I have a solution." And his face of fear turned to a happiness once again. He's just a very exuberant character. He's very, I don't know the term you'd use for it, you know, very, whatever, I can't think of it. But he changes really on a dime. You know, he could laugh one minute and then be mad the next minute, and you do one thing and he want to hit you. And anyhow, he's a character. But he looked at me and he said, "Okay, what's your solution?" Acting all happy. And I decided to kind of pick at him and antagonize him a little bit. I said, "Are you sure, Jake, you want to know the solution?" And he hit my arm. He said, "Yeah, I want to know the solution." I said, okay, the solution is easy. Your solution is Jesus. And he looked at me, kind of puzzled, and he said, well, I've never really heard about this man named Jesus, but I suppose if that's the way I need to go, then that's what I'll do. If I need Jesus. And I said, yeah, you need Jesus. And have you heard of the Holy Ghost? And he looked at me and he said, no, I've never heard of the Holy Ghost. And if I could tell you right now, I had muck boots on, but I was standing knee deep in mud right there in the cold. It was about 30 degrees outside. I began to tell him about Jesus. I began to tell him about the Holy Ghost and how he needed to be saved. You see, there are hungry people that you know, that you work on the job with, that you live at home with. I don't know your circumstances, but there's someone in need of truth, and they are hungry for it. Amen. Saints, friends, family, loved ones, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Can you hear the harvest calling? Can you hear the harvest calling? I don't want to leave this place without feeling the convicting power of the Holy Ghost on your hearts and your minds. I have truly wept, and I have prayed that what I tell you this afternoon would stir you and trouble you and burden you to the point that you would awake from your beds at night with the faces and the voices of a harvest that is truly ripe for the taking. Come on, maybe. Just maybe they're the faces and voices of loved ones, of friends, of neighbors, or co-workers. I'm not trying to manipulate you and your emotions this afternoon. I'm pleading with you to understand that we cannot be content with the status quo when there is a harvest in need of laborers. Can you hear the harvest calling? Not so long ago, I attended a funeral with my pastor, Brother Oliver. And I was asked to open the service with the reading of the obituary and then prayer, just before my pastor delivered a heartfelt message of hope. And as I began to read the obituary, I began to see the scriptures that I had read earlier to you begin to come alive. As I looked into the crowd of a sheep, or of sheep without a shepherd. I carry their obituaries with me. Here's one right now. I'm going to read it to you. His name is Jeffrey Daughtry. Jeffrey Daughtry, 58, of Indianapolis, passed away October 9th, 2018. He was born January 18th, 1960, in Indianapolis. It goes on to say who he was preceded by in death and who still remains. But this is another individual that needs truth. I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Luke chapter 12 in verse 46. It reads this. The Lord of the servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he was not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Talking about believers here. Verse 47 says, and the servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to the men that have committed much, of him will ask the more. To whom much is given, much is required. If you think that you can come to church every Sunday, if you think that you can come to church every Wednesday or midweek service and just scrape on by, you're sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. That's not the words of Winston Arthur. That's the preaching, and that's the words of the Word of the Lord. Those that knew the will of the Father and did nothing will be beaten with many stripes. There's going to come a day where if you didn't do the will of the Father and you didn't do what he asked, there's going to come punishment. And I can tell you, because the harvest is his will. It says in the book of 2 Peter, I believe, that it's not his will that any should perish. So we're speaking of the harvest. We're speaking of his will. Don't mind that right now. That's the devil. We're talking about the harvest. Don't be distracted by that. But we need to understand the importance of the harvest. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we find the Great Commission. You see, when you are called into his marvelous light, you then received a commission to go into the highways and the byways and compel those to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You've been commissioned. You've been asked to do this. For all those have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can't hide this under a bushel. If you don't, I don't know if you have the real thing. That's just being honest. So you've been called to do this. It's his will. This is his harvest. He loves people. We sang that song just a minute ago. He loves you. Oh, he really does. I was reading and talking about Lazarus. He had died. Lazarus had died, and Mary came out to see the Lord. And she was crying. She said, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It said in the Bible that these were some of the Lord's closest friends. Some of his closest friends. And after she had came to him, he stopped and he said, well, go back and prepare the house for my arrival. And she said, okay. And when she had left, there comes the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. But we often overlook that verse because it is so small. But do you realize that he wept? He was genuinely hurt because his friend had died. The Lord loves his harvest, and he loves his people. And if a God that can come down to earth just weep over one person that had passed away, how much more should you cry? How much more should it burden you? Should it hurt your heart that one person slipped through your hand like a grain of sand and you did nothing about it? Oh my. Jesus wept. He was truly hurt. I have another one right here. This one hurts me a little bit more because this young man was only 23 years old, close to my age, and his name was Brandon Hardman. I went to his service. I didn't read the obituary, and I didn't open the service in prayer. I just went to support the family, and he had come to church maybe once or twice in his life. He really didn't. He wasn't faithful, and, you know, he came because his grandmother asked him to come. And anyhow, I went to support, and the service was going on, and after the preaching of the message went forth, they had where you could walk by the casket and you could view this young man. And they were going by, and the last individual to come up was this young man's mom. And she was holding the baby, the little baby girl of this young man that had died of an overdose on methamphetamines. And she looked at him and she held the baby up and she said, say goodbye to your dad, because this is the last time you'll ever see him. The last time. And that little girl just waved goodbye and they walked on out. And that was the last time that they ever saw, that she ever saw her son, that this little girl ever saw her dad, was laying in this casket. Oh, and the feeling that gripped my heart. I can't tell you. Maybe I'm just a big old baby, but I stood there and watching that little girl. You got children. You got children. Think of that. It gripped my heart. And they walked on out. It was just some of the funeral ushers and some of the other ministers. And we were standing there. And I didn't get to go over and pay my respects. So while everyone was over here, no one was looking at him. I walked over there by myself. And I walked up to this young man and I leaned over to look into his face, and there's a picture of him right here, but I looked over, and I couldn't help but shed a couple tears as I looked at him and I said, "Brandon, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I wish there was another way I could reach out to you, but I know it's too late. It's too late. You're already gone. You passed on from this world and you're going to another one. And I can't reach you. You died lost. And I feel like it's in some way my fault." And I just start crying, and I had to gain my composure as I walked to the other ministers. And that night I called my grandfather on the phone, and I was just crying, and I was just weeping. I said, "The saddest thing ever happened. I watched this woman bring her granddaughter up to this boy that was my age." And I told him I was sorry, and I couldn't cry. I couldn't stop crying. I had thought about it. He was on my heart, and he was on my mind, and I was just weeping, and I could tell that my grandfather was touched by that, and he felt the burden because he lived a long life, and he'd been there a time or two, and he knew the pain, he knew the hurt, and I'm sure most of you do here as well. And he looked at me. I heard him pause for quite a while on the phone. And then he came to, and I was just listening and waiting for a response. And he said, "Son, truly, that is really sad. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that and witness that." He said, but Winston, there's many more like him. Many more like Brandon. Many more like Jeffrey. Many more like Jake. There's many more, and you know quite a few." In closing, if the musicians would come, you see, saints, Jake and Jeffrey and Brandon have all lived similar lives in the fact that they are going, they are in death, going to death. The only difference is that for Jake, there's still hope. There's still hope. He hasn't passed on from this world yet. And there's still hope. Many of those individuals that came to your mind earlier in this message still have a hope because of a life Jake and I never lived. And a death we didn't die. Men like us, women like you, men like you, can rest your eternity because you never had to pay the price. A Savior that came down from heaven paid the ultimate sacrifice, and he bore those stripes. He carried that cross for someone like you. Where were you? Where were you? I know where I was. I was in the Marine Corps. I was in a hellhole, if I could say it like that. Oh, I done seen it all. Guys doing crazy things. Girls doing crazy things. My life was in a mess, and I knew the truth. When I came home, I found my dad, and I said, "Dad, I'm sorry. I should have listened to you the whole time. You were right." But you know what? A God full of mercy and grace saw my mess, saw my situation. He came to me, and while I was down in the dumps, and the dumps of despair, sitting in my room on the ground, just crying, I felt his warm embrace. And it's almost like I imagined I could see him right there looking at me with his arm around me saying, "It's going to be okay. There's going to come a day that I'm going to use you. Oh, I'm going to use you to reach out to my harvest, because you know the struggles. You know the hurts. You know the pains. And you that have been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, it's your job to reach out to a lost and dying world." Oh, that old song, "Calvary, Calvary, please won't you speak to me? Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay." That's my song every day. Lord, just tell me how. I want to repay. Oh, if we live according to the mathematics that God set before us. Some seed fell on stony ground, and the birds came and picked it up. Others fell into thorns and thistles, and they were choked out by these weeds. Other fell into soil that had no depth, and they died. But one-fourth fell on good ground, and it received up its harvest. Now, if we're living according to the mathematics that the Lord set before us, you haven't even reached one-fourth of Winnemac. You haven't. His mathematics don't lie. They're true. You haven't even reached him. There's hundreds of souls, hundreds of them, that are going from work, going home, just contemplating suicide, contemplating, oh, should I take this drugs tonight? Because I got nothing else to live for. And they go home and they shoot it up, or smoke some dope, get drunk, and sit in the drunken stupor because they got nothing else to do. And they don't know a way. And they cry. They cry, they cry. That's all I could think about without driving up here, is that there's people that are sitting there crying. And you know what? The Lord's hurting because he uses people. He's in the people business, but he uses people. And if people can't be used because they're so caught up in their old self, then the harvest is dying. He said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's room to grow here. I'm not beating you up. I'm not telling that you're doing wrong. I'm just telling you got to be aware that there's seats here that aren't full. There's people that want to be here. They just don't know it. They just don't know there's seats here available. You know how happy they'd be? Let me tell you, my grandfather, he wasn't raised in church. He was a motorcycle rider, hard man. At the age of 10, got hit by a train, thrown out the windshield, killed his mom instantly in the car with him. He asked me, he said, I don't know why I didn't die that day. Now I know. Now I know. Went on living a pretty rough life, got all his teeth knocked out before he entered into middle school. Had dentures since then. He always looks at me, and he's from Ohio. He's a country boy, raised on a farm. He said, I never thought this old farm boy would ever go to the places he's seen. Been kicked out of China 5 times for smuggling Bibles in. Been over to some 200-some countries. But it was all because my great-grandmother, in a time where she was most needed, a time of faithfulness, she had a true love for Christ. She invited him to church. Let me tell you about her real quick. She would go to church, and on her deathbed, here, my grandparents and my parents can attest to this, she was on her deathbed. She grabbed the hand of my great-grandfather, who was a man that believed that when you died like a dog, no soul. Didn't go to heaven, didn't go to hell, just believe he died. And that was it. It was final. She grabbed his hand, and oftentimes he would lock her outside during the winter. When they would go to church, they'd have to walk to church. It'd be snowing on the ground, and there was 8 of those kids. One of them was my grandmother. She said all of them would be crying, wanting to get inside. My grandma would patiently knock on the door. She was calm on the outside, but when she got to church, she would hoop and holler because she knew where the Lord brought her from. But she knocked patiently on this door, and my great-grandfather would open it up in a drunken stupor, cussing the kids out, cussing her out. Why do you go to that church? I don't understand. She said, just go to your room, kids. I was on a regular basis. But because she had a love for Christ, she came, and on her deathbed, she grabbed the hand of my great-grandfather. And she said, Amp, called him by name. Amp, I really loved you, but I love God more. I love God more. And moments later, she passed away. Just after she said, I loved you. I did. Although you put me through some mess and some hurt and some trials, I loved you. But I love God more. And because of that, I'm here today. Because of that, my grandparents are here and they're in church. Because of that, my grandfather went and traveled the world, preaching the gospel, seeing thousands and thousands of people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Many miracles, signs, and wonders. It still happens. It can happen over in California. It can happen here today. But it all still happens. But it was because of a love for Christ. I believe in generational curses, but I also believe in generational blessings. And it's up to you today to make up in your mind. This is not in my notes, but make up in your mind that you're going to allow God to birth a burden inside you for somebody that you know. And that you're going to be an intercessor for them, and that in times that you're going to be alone, you're going to find time to just lift them up in prayer. You're going to start inviting people, and they're going to start coming because you're going to be on fire for God. I believe that. This church is going to grow exponentially, and you're going to see an unprecedented revival like this place has never seen. I believe that we're in the end times, and the Lord said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and we're going to see a great revival. And if you're not getting with it, you're going to miss this train. This train's bound for glory, and if you don't jump on, you're going to be left behind. So tonight, this afternoon, I'm sorry, I'd like to make an altar call. For those that had a person come to mind, just stand up here in their stead. Stand up here in their stead and claim it, that they're going to receive a touch from the Lord. That the ministering angels of God are going to be sent to their home. That they're going to be starting to trouble the waters in their hearts and minds. Because you know what? You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have a partnership with angels. And you have a partnership with the spiritual realm. You need to understand the authority and power that you hold. Start telling the Lord, Lord, send your ministering angels to these people and stir them up, trouble the waters. And I believe that the Lord will do that. I'm trying to help guide you here, help you understand you have authority, you have power, you have the Holy Ghost, and there are people that need it. And maybe they'll never hear it any other way but by you. This altar is open right now. If you want a touch from the Lord, and if you have someone in mind, please come. Allow the Lord to burr the burden with inside of you. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We magnify you right now. Oh, God, stir us so passionately. Oh, Lord, right now. Oh, right now, right now. Let intercessors be birthed. Let intercessors be birthed. Let the burden for lost souls be planted in our hearts and in our minds. Let there be no waking moment that we don't hear the voices and we don't see the faces of lost people crying out for help. Oh, because we're living in a nation that needs it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Like you never saw them before. Begin to cry out for these lost souls. Some of them are family members. Some of them are people that you love. Some of them are people that you care for. They're not here today. You know what? They're lost and they're dying. But they need someone like you to pray for them. Even when I can't feel, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile.
across this congregation right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder if we can stand all across this place in closing here today. Hallelujah. Brother Arthur did the work of an evangelist today.
Amen.
He convicted us. I pray for us, if conviction never affects us anymore, that we can walk out in this world and never be affected by somebody that we know, if they don't come in contact with Jesus, they're going to a place called hell, a place that wasn't created for them. He brought it to us today, did he not? I know I'm just walking the Holy Ghost just for a few moments. When he opened his message today, he didn't know that we have a painter, a licensed painter, in this place. He didn't know that in this place we have mothers that have children struggling with the exact same things that he was preaching about today. He didn't know that some of the other things that he talked about today, some of you marriages that are under assault with some of the very things he preached about here today. He had no idea, but God did. That's the kind of God we serve. A God that would take somebody sitting in Richmond, Indiana, and give them a peculiar, special message just for his church in Winnemac, Indiana. I wonder if we could lift our hands. I feel in the Holy Ghost. I felt it 2 weeks ago. I don't know what it was, but I really felt like we aren't doing a good enough job of praying for the prodigals. So many of us had mercy demonstrated to us from a merciful God, but we allow prodigals to be separated from God, and we're not doing the due diligence to let them know there's a fatted calf. Let them know that you don't have to come with condemnation. You come back to mercy. You come back to grace. I wonder right now if you could reach over, grab somebody's hand next to you if it's appropriate. I want you to pray for their children. I want you to pray for their family. I want you to pray for their loved one right now in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking you right now to reach down, God. I'm asking you to anoint their mind, anoint their lips, anoint their heart, God. Save their children. Let mercy walk into that house right now where they may be drunk, they may be strung out on drugs at this very moment, God. But I'm asking you to walk into that house. And if it's possible, God, let them feel your very touch. Let them feel your very presence. Let them feel your very anointing as you walk through the room in the name of Jesus Christ. God, there's husbands that are lost here today, God, that didn't get up and come to church today, but yet they still say they love you and you love them. I'm asking you to walk into that home right now. Let them feel the prayers of the church. Let them feel the prayers of the saints. Let them feel the anointing that spread forth from the lips of an evangelist and into the heart of a people that was received, God. Right now, God, I pray for every child, every husband, every mother that's separated from you right now, God. Let your mercy and grace visit their life. May they look back and see the handprint of a merciful God on their soul. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's what you call an old-fashioned intercessory prayer spirit moving through this. There comes a point when words don't do what intercessory prayer will do. Words can't describe, but the Bible says that's when God begins to work on your behalf. Outside of your reach, outside of the walls that we build, outside of our home, outside of our church, it reaches into a whole nother area, a whole nother place. And now the Spirit of God is making intercession for you. Come on, can we reach just a little bit deeper for a few more moments? If you know how to pray, I want you to pray right now. There's some chains being broken. There's some walls coming down right now. In the name of Jesus, loose it in Jesus' name. Loose the addiction right now in Jesus' name. Let healing virtue flow right now, God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Let mercy and grace, let them begin to pray through right now in their living room. Let them begin to pray through right now to a relationship, God, at this very moment, wherever they're at. Reach down and love them and hug them back into your presence one more time, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. If you've never been around the gifts of the Spirit, what you've heard is nothing more than God speaking to his people directly through a person. It's through the gifts of tongues and interpretation. It's found right there in the book of Corinthians. You don't see this very often, but what you have seen is God's special encounter coming down talking to his people today. You heard what the voice was. I've called to you twice. You've rejected me, but I have given you a window. I've given you an opportunity to be touched and to be used by me. I wonder if we can thank God for speaking to his people, not only through an evangelist, but also directly to his people. Can we thank God one more time? Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to hear your voice. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to know, God, we haven't left your radar. You haven't forgotten about your people, but you know where we're at. You know our address. You know who we are. And you've chosen us for this hour. You've chosen us for this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's been good to us today. Some of you have probably never been witness to something that happened often in the book of Acts. What you saw today was something that happened in the book of Acts that still operates today, and that's the gifts of the Spirit. No reason to fear them, no reason to be afraid of them. It's no different than laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. The Bible says you shall speak with other tongues also. That's what you've demonstrated today. If you have questions about that, come see me. I'll talk to you further. We do have some guests today. But how many's thankful for the moving in the Spirit of God here today? God was good to us. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you heard the preacher. Don't wait until you're on a paper. Don't wait until you're in the newspaper. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, today is the day of salvation. There is no day like today. If you've never found a place of repentance, you don't have to come to this altar. You can do it in your pew. You can do it in your car driving home. You can kneel at your bed when you get home and say, God, I want you to purge my mind, purge my spirit. Allow me to be like you. Take this old man and bury it with you. And you know what? God will rush into that room and bind your wounds and heal you in Jesus' name. God bless you. I wonder if we can give a hand clap for this wonderful evangelist that came all the way up here to preach to us. Not just to preach to us, but to deliver a message from God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This won't be his last time here, trust me. He'll be back. God bless you. Hug your brothers and sisters next. Let them know you love them. It feels like revival around here. This is what church ought to feel like. We'll see you on Wednesday night. God bless you. Greet our guests and let them know how much we appreciate them being with us.
Just lift our hands. Come on. Just begin to lift up a sound of worship. Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Oh. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory. Oh, we've come to meet with you. We've come to lift up your name. You are high and lifted up. You are great and greatly to be praised. Oh, I believe that you are here to heal the broken heart.